So, anyways, I just gotta wait on her. She loves to be focused on. And so if you'll just advance it, there we go. 2 Peter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be both glory, be glory both now and forever. Amen." I want to talk tonight, you can go to the next one. I want to talk tonight about growing spiritually. How many would agree with me and believe that it would be God's plan and God's will that we grow? That is the heart of God. Every mom and dad, don't we want our children to grow? I mean, the diapers are only good for a time. I mean, don't we all want them at some point to pass through certain stages of growth? And I believe that is what that we have in Peter's writing, as Peter's saying that I want you to grow in the grace of God. I want you to be established. I want you to be dependable. I want you to be someone that it can be counted on, not only by God himself, but by other people, that there is an expectation, since he has deposited himself in us. There's an expectation that we as his people begin to take and grow. And I was talking just a little bit earlier, and we were talking about how that if we're not careful, even our emotions can be very deceiving. And we could see where Peter is right there at the time of Christ when the disciples are asked, "Whom do men say that I am?" And none of them begin, they all begin to throw out some answers until he looks at Peter and says, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter's the only one that responds that you're the Christ. And he says, that's revelation knowledge, and only the Father has given you that revelation of who I am. And he says, upon this rock, this revelation, I'm going to build my church. And just take it just a few moments later, and he's rebuking Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." So you can look at somebody who might be what they ought to be on one hand, and then be someone totally different on the other hand. And I, for one, you know, the Bible says, James uses a comment. He says, someone that is double-minded is unstable in all of their ways. You've probably never known anybody that was wishy-washy. Can't make up their mind. They feel one way today, and another day they don't feel that way at all. And you know, we as a spiritual person, don't you want to be able to know the voice of God? Amen. The leading of God? What is my purpose? What is the one thing that God wants me to contribute my life to become? I mean, don't we all have those questions? And yet we know that it is God's plan and God's will to use us, and that we grow, and it has to be something that is, I know, individually, but also corporately, that we as a fellowship grow and mature. All right, go to the next scripture if you would. Now, I love this. This is Paul's writings in Galatians 5. He said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" You did run well. But who, and we could almost throw in there, just so that we might be clear in this, you could say, who or what? What slowed the progress? You were running. So real quickly, take that next one real quick. Then if you look at that, obeying the truth would be an indicator to running well. Would everybody agree? You can't take that out of there, right? Because it was put there with a purpose. That scripture is saying, you did run well. So in that, wouldn't you agree with me that he's saying, then you've obeyed well? Otherwise, why would you put obeying the truth in there? So if we were going to put a yardstick on what is spiritual growth, or what is spiritual maturity, what does it look like? Would you agree with me that it would have to have something to do with being obedient? If you were looking at somebody to be a competent employee, wouldn't you want that competent employee being able to follow rules? I mean, if that was an individual that you're saying, okay, I can trust that you're a good employee, wouldn't you expect that person to be able to follow what is expected of them? So I don't think that's any different. Do you guys see that? If the writer Paul is saying you've run well, I think the running well is obeying the truth. And it goes right with the understanding. And then that's what we're talking about when we're saying somebody who is growing spiritually. But he says, what hindered you? What changed? I mean, we can look and guys, listen, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. You know that. It's not my heart. But how is it you can be so thrilled with the church today and not tomorrow? You know, how many have ever started a job and loved your job at first? Right? And then after a while, what changed? Did the job change? No, then the person had to change. It wasn't the job, right? You know, we were speaking earlier even about when are you at your most vulnerable times? For a minister, believe it or not, my most vulnerable time is after I have delivered the word of God. And I use the illustration, if I've hit all eight cylinders. Meaning that it was a successful delivery. That after that, I am probably the most vulnerable for a mood swing, a downturn. Come on, don't you want to, listen, wouldn't it be nice if we just put a little, and just say everybody here is just spiritually right where you're supposed to be. Now, I've told you before, where you are is where you've chosen to be. You're responsible for wherever you are in Christ. I mean, wherever your walk has taken you, you're exactly where you've been willing to be, period. But if we could put that tag and say, everybody is exactly where you're supposed to be, wouldn't that be an interesting thing? Because has the benchmark been reached by all of us? I mean, if there's been a benchmark set, this is where I should be. I mean, you have certain benchmarks with children's growth, don't you? You have certain benchmarks. When we used to, years ago, we ran for a long time with our organization. We ran 3 youth camps instead of 2. When we ran 3 youth camps, they ran a camp for, I believe it was 6 years old to 8 years old, if I believe, or maybe 9. And then they ran a camp for 10 to 12. And then they ran a camp from 13 to 19. And what was interesting during that time when they did that, they had a playground up at our youth camp at that time. And during the smallest camp, I mean, that playground equipment got its use. Those kids are all over the monkey bars and they're playing. And, you know, you've got just kids running everywhere. And they're filthy, filthy dirty. I mean, they're just dirt. And then you see the 10 to 12 year olds. Now what you see is very few over on the swings, very few on the playground equipment. You got a little bit of playfulness now between the boys and the girls. But they're not as mature yet, but they're not the little ones either. And then you would see the teenagers come in and they didn't even know what the playground equipment was. And they definitely knew what the other sex was, boy and girls. They got that down. You could see the differences. So what I'm talking about, there were benchmarks. Do you guys understand that? There was an expectation that if I've been serving the Lord for whatever time, there should be certain things that you have met. Certain understandings you should already have. Certain things that you just come to, you just know, this is who I am in Christ. This is where I'm going in Christ. There absolutely ought to be the made-up mind. I may not be yet where I ought to be, but I know one thing. I'm not who I used to be, and I'm never going back there. Right? So you have that. You begin to see certain things changing in your nature, because your nature is now changing to be the nature of God. And you're starting to really like people. You notice I didn't just say love. You're starting, because loving's easier than liking sometimes. Amen. Loving people because we love God, it becomes easier to say, I love you. You know, love is just an easy word. We just throw it out there. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Don't like you very much, but I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Right? And so these certain things you begin to understand. All right, so let's take a moment. Let's move to the next one real quick. Hindrances which stunt growth. So if we look and we say, you know, he says, you've run well. You've obeyed the truth well, but in the middle of you doing well, something stopped you. I mean, because he didn't put it there for no reason. You've got people who, how many have known some people who started this race that didn't finish their race? How many have seen people that at one point was doing better in their walk than another point? They were, well, we might use the term, they were on fire for the Lord, full of zeal, excited to be in church. And then you look at people that are no longer excited to be in church. And they've lost their zeal. They look unhappy when they come in. Right? There's a change. You guys are understanding what I'm talking about. There's something hindered. They were doing well, and that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. You ran well. You were doing good. You were obeying the truth. What changed? What's different? What's different now than before? If God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, we know God hasn't changed. Right? You know, some people even look sometimes at church. You guys need to understand. And even years ago, I used to wonder, what should church be as far as what should we be doing? You know, what we're doing is exactly what we should be doing. We should come to church on a Wednesday night. Having a Bible study is perfect. If you want to have a regular service, that's fine too. But if you have a regular service, there should be songs, praise, worship, time for people to be able to give, an opportunity to hear the Word of God. That really should be what we do. It shouldn't be complicated. Like, we're going to do this? People say, well, that's what you do every time. That's what we ought to do. Because that's we assemble ourselves for that purpose. It's what we do. All right, throw the first list that I have up there. All right, so I think these are things that I put. We're gonna hear from you in a few moments. This is just some of the things that I thought about. When I'm looking at what would hinder me, what would hinder people that I've been around a lot in my walk with the Lord. Let's everybody say growing spiritually. So our objective, and I believe this is an objective of God in us, is that we grow. Are we all in agreement? No argument. That God has an expectation set on every single believer. And I think that every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that is a child of God ought to check themselves. Does anybody agree with me? I think the Bible says let a man examine himself. That's check himself. I think that we ought to from time to time say, am I where I ought to be in Christ? Do I love God more today than I did last week or last month or last year or 10 years ago? Am I as happy as I was before? Am I still in love with God? Am I still in love with people? I think we have, don't you think we have to examine where we are? So we really get a good idea from our perspective of where I'm at. I'm not talking about whether or not we're saved. I'm talking about where we are in our salvation. Where we are in our relationship with the Lord. So these are just a few things that I thought about. Little or no prayer life. Little or no prayer life. You say, well, what does that even mean? You know, I'm not suggesting that people need to spend 4 to 5 hours a day on their knees in their home in their prayer closet praying. That's not what I'm saying. But Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica and he says, you ought to pray without ceasing. So he understood. He was a tent maker by trade. So I kind of felt like when he was building tents, don't you think he was talking to God? I think that prayer needs to be a part of just your everyday living. Does anybody agree with me? I don't think the posture of your body is as important as the position of your heart. I don't think you necessarily have to find a place and designate it your prayer closet. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have one. That's not what I'm saying either. But I don't think you need to designate a room and say, this is the only thing I do in this room is pray. Listen, I think when you drive your car, you can pray. And I think you ought to keep your eyes open. We had a guy in our first church. This is a true story. Those of you who haven't heard, this is a true story. Guy in our first church that we were pastoring got in an accident between Woodland and Madison. We were pastoring in Madison, and he was on his way to Woodland. He lived in Woodland, and he ran off the road and hit a tree. And I said, and he was upset. He was upset at God. I said, why are you upset? He said, because I was praying and I was praising the Lord and I had my hands raised. I said, who was driving the car? I was. Yeah. You know what? It's amazing. I can pray with my eyes open. Amen. I can talk to God. But I do think that there are believers and maybe some right here that spend no quality time talking to the Lord. They just don't. If we were to say, if we could measure your prayer life. And listen, prayer is a conversation between you and God. So it doesn't mean you have to do all the talking. I think meditation's a powerful tool that we as believers get to do. You meditate on the goodness of God. And you meditate on His Word, and you think about it. I think if you have an opportunity to plug in whatever your style of worship is. If you like contemporary, man, get on Pandora, and if you have internet access, and you can put in some Christian artists that you like, and plug them in, and listen to Christian music, and allow that to be heard going into your ears. That's an ear gate. And listen to that. And if you like Southern Gospel, then get the Gaithers and get some Southern Gospel people that you enjoy and listen to that. And it will allow you to stay in an attitude and expression of worship. And I can tell you, your days will go a lot better. It's kind of a sad thing when you've not thought about God. Everybody say our priorities need to be right. I told my wife this the other day. We talk so much about the Lord and about the Word and about our relationship with God and with each other. And we spend a lot of our time when we're together outside of an office thing. We talk about our growth and where we are. And I said to her the other day, I said, can somebody call Jesus their Savior and He not be their Lord? We were talking about that. Now think about that for a moment. Because when you say He's your Lord, what you're really saying is to be Lord means He's over everything. Right? To be Savior, you're just saying He saved you from your sin. But to be Lord means that I have submitted myself under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That He is Lord over everything. Now, listen, I'm coming to a point. If He's the Lord over everything, and if I can go all day and He's never on my mind, never on my heart, I don't think about Him, I don't think about, and I go all day and I come to the end of the day and I think, oh man, I didn't talk to Jesus today. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord my soul to keep. Is anybody understanding that? We talk, can He, if He is in fact your Savior, doesn't He also have to be your Lord? Then He's Lord over everything. Right? That means then in that case, well, we can get into that, can't we? Because that means that everything that we do is under His Lordship. All right. So little or no prayer life. I think the second hindrance that came to my mind was no Bible reading. If in fact faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, hearing by the Word of God. If I don't spend any time hearing the Word of God, if I don't spend any time getting the Word of God, if I don't get any Word in me. Did anybody eat today? If you ate today, let me see your hand. I'm hoping, if you're not fasting, somebody had to eat something, right? Okay, you ate today. Did anybody eat more than once? Okay, that should be pretty close to everybody, right? Did you eat yesterday? How many plan to eat tomorrow? The numbers are slipping. Somehow you're not planning on eating tomorrow. You're going to do without. Okay, right? Is it in, let me just make sure, is it in your plan to eat every day? Right? Does that usually include a minimum of 3 meals? Snacks get thrown in there, right? Occasional chocolate. Dessert. Right, the necessary food groups, right? And you do that every day, right? Why do we think that you can go, in your case tonight, you're here in church on Wednesday, but if you go Sunday morning, if you don't come to, we're in a seminar right now, but if you don't make it to the leadership seminar, and you only come Sunday morning, and if you make that Sunday morning, and you make that Wednesday night, and if you don't get into the Word at all through the week, either by listening or by reading yourself, you get no Bible Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And when you come Wednesday night, you're a little bit more fortunate than you are on Sunday morning. Because Sunday morning, I do my best to try to tie up. And I liked what Brother Passmore said. Sister Passmore told him, if you can't get what you need to get said by in 35 minutes, you're doing it wrong. So on Sunday morning, I'm usually pretty good about trying to stay somewhere right around 30, 35 minutes on Sunday morning. Sunday evening, we go a little bit longer. So if we take the total word that you're getting from me, and that's let's say we do 45 minutes on Wednesday night and you take 30 minutes, that's 75 minutes of hearing the word of God from me. If you don't go get it on the website and pick up any extra, which I encourage you, you ought to go and pick up our teachings on the website and listen to them over and over, right? Since you're only picking up 8% of what I say, 92% you miss. That is what they say. Your ability to retain is 8% of what I say. So 92% you're missing. But we don't even like these numbers, do we? And if you don't pick up some of your reading on your own and hearing the word on your own, can I tell you, you're starving your faith. You're starving your faith. Do you guys know that I'm not upset with anybody? You guys know that, right? I'm not trying to get on to anybody. We're just trying to understand what causes us to grow and what could be a hindrance to spiritual growth. What could be something that we could, that's identifiable, that we could say, you know what, that's a reason why I'm not where I need to be. If I'm not where I ought to be, there's a good reason right there. Look at number 3, poor church attendance. In other words, something else is always borrowing my time from church. Now, I know I'm talking to the choir. You're here. But there, you understand that people just miss church for whatever reason. It's like, well, if I've got time, I'll go. Yeah, if it fits in my life, I'll do it. Somebody would say, you know what, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. And my answer to that may be true. But if you're a Christian, you're going to go to church. Because you need the Word of God. You need to be around other people that are hearing the Word of God. And I know that people work. I get that. I know that. I know that I'm not in the workforce like many of you are. But I get that. I remember. I haven't forgotten those days. I understand that. But you know, sometimes it's just plain excuses. Come on, you know, I'm not talking about you. You're the choir. I'm talking about other people. You understand? But for some, it's just a plain excuse. I mean, it's just a plain excuse that we'll put everything else in front. And if I can fit Jesus into my schedule where it's convenient for me, Chris was sharing with us. I'm looking for Chris back there. Chris was sharing with me the other day. You know, sometimes as ministers, you're asked to do things that challenge you to compromise what you really feel or believe. And he was asked if he would I don't want to give away too many details of this, but he was asked if he would. There are families involved that have nothing to do with God. They want nothing to do with God, and they'll be the first to tell you. But they are looking for fire insurance. And for those of you that missed that, they don't want to go to hell. So what they really, really want, they don't want a relationship with God. And they'll say that plainly. They're not interested in knowing God. They want Chris to perform a service over them. You are now right. Live like the devil. You'll still make heaven. And Chris and I talked about that because he was troubled by. And I've made it a little plainer, but you understand that really was the essence of this. And I said, Chris, you know what it comes down to? Anytime you're being compromised by what they're asking you to do is wrong, and you need to stand up and say, no. I'm not doing that. Now this may give you an opportunity to use this now to minister Jesus Christ to them. But for somebody to just say, are you guys getting this? You cannot have it both ways. You cannot say, I think Christianity, isn't it becoming such a common term? I guarantee you, if I walked up and down the streets and said, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? I guarantee you many of them. I had a conversation here. This has been back a little ways ago, but it wasn't that far back that I don't remember it very well. I had a person come up and we were talking, we were in conversation, and they said, yes, I go out to that church in Palermo. I said, you do? I said, what church do you go to? They said, oh, it's PBFC. I said, you go to PBFC? He said, I do, man. I love that church. I said, you do? He said, oh yeah, I love that church. Great church. I said, what do you think of the pastor? Oh man, he's good. He's a good preacher. I said, really? Maybe you'd like to introduce me sometime. He's going on and on about this church. I said, so you attend there? Oh yeah, I'm faithful. You go all the time, every time. And you know the pastor personally? Yes, I love his preaching. Really? Do you know the Bible talks about, the Bible says when, remember the ones that it came out and they begin to try to say to Satan, I adjure thee in the name of Jesus Christ whom Paul preaches. And the enemy rose up and said, you know what? Paul I know. Jesus I know. Who are you? Yeah. Well, that's pretty much the extent of it. I did finally introduce myself to him. But, that's too good. You don't pass those up. You can't miss those. It's just, total egg in the face. But you can't. Those things happen. Oh, went over like you would expect it to go over. Those things happen. I've had other people tell me, I'm a part of it. I go there all the time. I'm faithful, and I just let them talk. If you give somebody enough rope, they'll hang themselves. Church attendance. How many believe we ought to be in church? Do you really believe we ought to be in church? Do you really believe that what you get is important? Yes.
They actually heard you say once, well, just because you park yourself in a garage doesn't make you a car, and you were talking about how that doesn't make you a Christian, but Christians should go to church. And I was telling them, but Christians should go to church. And the part of that is, if you don't park your car in the garage, you park your car outside the garage, that car has to take every storm that comes around at full force. When your car is in the garage, you've got a covering over it to protect you from the storm.
Very good analogy. I love that. I believe in church attendance. And I know I'm fanatical and I know I'm radical. I love church. I do. You know, I love food. I like it. Man, I like it. There's certain foods, man. I mean, there's just some foods I like it. And I can't help it. I want to eat it. And I'm not going to get so mad at food, I'm not going to eat no more. And people will get mad at church. I'm not going back. I'm just not going back. I don't know what I heard, what God said over here, but I know it's not right. I'm so mad, I'm just not going back to church. Just not going back. I got mad. But I never get mad at food and say, I'm never going to eat again. I got a bad steak. I'm never eating another steak again. I'm still going to eat. You know what? I'll get over my madness because I know food's good for me. And I know church is good for me. Anybody agree with me tonight? All right, here's another one. I got to put it up there because I believe that sin becomes a hindrance. Come on, we just said it is either crossing the line or missing the mark, isn't it? I think sin interferes with the running. The Bible says that if we're going to run this race, the Bible says we have to lay aside every weight and the sin. That's what it says. He's talking to believers, church. If you're not careful, you will allow things to come back into your life that God set you free from. The Apostle Paul says, I bring my flesh into subjection. That is a positive statement that Paul says. What he's actually saying is that word is a continuing word. It doesn't stop. It's not, I brought my flesh, I bring it. That means today I bring my flesh. Guess what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to bring my flesh. Guess what I'm going to do the next day? I'm going to bring my flesh into subjection. I've got to handle my flesh every day. I've got to deal with my attitudes every day. Is anybody else besides me? Does anybody else have to deal with you a little bit? And if we're not careful, we will allow things that we have been freed from. It's under the blood, but we'll start putting them back into our life. And those things that you do will affect your running. You cannot say I'm obeying the truth and sinning at the same time. You guys love me? You cannot say I'm obeying the truth that I'm under the law of Jesus Christ and continue to sin. You cannot. You cannot. I'm not saying that you will not have a problem, but then you get free of that problem. All right. And then you got to look at it because the next one's myself. Self. Does self get in the way of anybody besides me? No. Because some of yourselves are in my way. No, I'm just kidding. No. You know what I mean? You deal with self, don't we? The I don't want to or I do want to. Some of what you want to do, you shouldn't do. And some of the things you don't want to do, you ought to do. Yes. It is all about self. Solomon said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. But life is just a vapor. Amen? It's just a vapor. It's just, we're here today and gone tomorrow. And we get so focused on what my wants are, what I think I need, what I think I want to do. I. And then life struggles. How many would agree with me? Life struggles can become a hindrance. Do you agree? I mean, all of a sudden something happens and life struggles can get in the way. I mean, what zaps your joy? What steals your thunder? What robs you of your victories? Life's happenings. But they happen to all of us, right? You got to learn now. Praise your way through it. It's not always easy. Sometimes you get the calls, huh, honey, that you don't want to get. And you things just happen, and you realize all of a sudden, and when somebody comes between you and your relationship with God, and I'm talking about somebody who has the power over you to take your victory, I'm talking about pushing your buttons, making you want to cuss them out. I know none of you ever want to do that. Makes you want to show them a finger while you're driving your car. Listen to me. I've seen believers do that. Yeah, with bumper stickers. I've seen believers. They didn't think I saw them, and I guarantee you, when they looked, I'm not the one they need to be concerned about. I'm talking about all of a sudden you communicate in a way that believers don't communicate, right? And behaviors and attitudes that do not depict us as children of God, right? All right, let's move on. I know none of us ever deal with negative people. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm so glad you're not negative. Right? Yes. Just a minute. You guys, I don't want to lose you on that one, right? None of you know any negative people, right? Yes. Well, that could be me. Exactly. How many would just say honestly, you can think of at least one person right now? I didn't even get the question out. You can think of one person right now that when you get around them, it is everything you can do to keep your attitude right. Can anybody think of at least one? And did you notice? I didn't even have to get it out. You already knew that you had that one person in mind. The minute I said one, but you knew. Because we all, yeah, they're joy suckers. They're people that they it's like they think it's their mission in life to rain on your day. Make you feel less than what you are. You have to almost, how many of you ever had to walk out of a place and felt like you had to shake it off? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You walk out from some place because you've been with some people that were so negative, and you walk out, shake it off. My wife and I were in a restaurant. This has been a few years ago, but we heard them. No kidding. They were over there, and they were bashing their pastor. You guys don't know how bold my wife is. You really don't know. You don't know how many times we sit at a table and she goes to say something and I nudge her leg. You don't know how many times I've done it. I've nudged her leg. She's bold. Trying to help her not say what she shouldn't say, you know, and maybe even touch her a little, you know, honey, sweetheart. She's bold. We're sitting there at the table and they're bashing their pastor and she gets loud. She'll say, and you know, here we are, pastor. I love my pastor. I'd never sit in a restaurant and bash my pastor when my pastor, and she gets louder and I'm like, open the floor, let me jump in. Negative people. People I think that can be a hindrance. How many think that can be a hindrance? Here you are, you're running your race. You've just got out of Bible study. It's wonderful. And you're enjoying yourself and you're hearing the Word of God. And you feel like the Spirit of the Lord has touched you. And you walk out the door and somebody walks up and just lays you out. You get that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, somebody says something, and you can't even remember what was said in church. You can't even remember what it felt like to feel the presence of God, because at that moment, all you can see is the redness of your face, and you're feeling yourself losing a battle with your attitude. Come on, am I talking to anybody? What hinders you? Okay, so let's go to the next screen, which is blank. It's not going to be blank yet? Okay, it will be though, right? You're going to, right? Okay, cool. All right, so here's what I want to know from you. You give me some things. This was my list. You guys tell me some things that you think. Yes.
I've been experiencing some things emotions confusing the maturity level that I have.
Sure.
Sometimes my emotions are run so high that I got to really be careful because I know who I am in Christ. I know that I'm growing in Christ. And I know each time I grow, I mature a little more. And then, like you said, negative people or negative attitudes can also be the cause to question your maturity level.
Let me throw this in a word. I'm going to have her put it up there. She's going to put it up in a moment. Being able to discern God. How many get that's really what he was saying? Being able to discern God. To be able to discern God. I know God. I find it interesting. One of the prophets of God, Elijah has been a prophet who knew how to call fire from heaven. Have you ever called fire from heaven? How many have wanted to call fire from heaven on somebody? I so appreciate the honesty of this people, I'm telling you what. Have you ever wanted to pray? Sister Cox, our bishop's wife, she says that when they were pastor at church, she said, I'd get so mad at people. I had a bus for people I was mad at. And I'd put them in that bus and I'd push them over a cliff. Now she was just bold enough to say it. Come on, you know you've prayed sometimes. God, I sure wish they would get what they... You've never done that, right? You guys are so good. You're so godly. I love you guys. Yes. Yeah, you know, that's what the idea was, is that you love people so much that you actually heap what is called coals of fire. You're so kind to them. I just hope that your kindness is genuine. Because that's what will heap coals of fire. Because if you're just being nice when you really don't feel nice... Then all you do is fooling yourself. Okay, whose hand do I see? Charlotte has her hand up. You have one for the list. Activities. Busyness. I'm too busy. Can anybody get too busy? I'm too busy. I don't have time. Right? I don't. Is that right? Is that what you're saying? I've got too many activities. I've got too many irons in the fire. I'm too busy. I don't have time for my relationship with God. I don't have time for the run. You did run well. What hindered you? Too busy, right? Yes, back there.
Music and television, what you see and hear.
Are you getting these, Crystal? Music and television, what you see and hear. Music and television. Can television rob you of your time? Can it hinder your run? Well, I think we'd have to throw the internet with that. Maybe put that with TV, music, and internet would have to be in that. But can that take time away from your relationship with the Lord? Can it hinder you? Can it be? Listen, how many realize that there's no evil? TV in and of itself is not evil. Everybody get that? It's just a box. Or it's a screen. It's in and of itself. Well, TVs used to be a box, so I'm sorry. I'm old school here. But now it's a flat screen, right? All right. All right, you guys understand, though, it's a screen, right? And music and nothing evil in and of itself. Music itself is not evil. How many would say money's not evil? Do you guys agree that money? Does anybody hate money here? I don't hate it. I need it. If you don't like your money, give it to me. I'll find a designation for it. You guys understand it. But in and of itself, it is not evil. But can be used incorrectly. Let me go back here real quick. Yes.
Attitude.
I thought of that one, actually. Attitude. Throw attitude up there. That's really good. Does attitude bug anybody? I just don't feel like it. We'll even justify our attitude. Won't we? Come on, what's our subject tonight? Growing spiritually, running the race well. And what are some of the hindrances that prevent us? Let me go to Chris. I think that goes with negative people. Daniel? I love that one. Religious, put this one down, religious expectations. Religious expectations. Brian? I think that's it. My wife and I talked about that one. Laziness. How many would agree with me on laziness? You know, when I was younger, as I was trying to instill in my walk with the Lord disciplines. Everybody say disciplines. How many believe that disciplines ought to be in our walk with the Lord? Earlier in my relationship with the Lord, I was trying to place disciplines in my walk, and before devotion time became an easy thing for me. See, today, my devotion time is an easy thing for me to do. But there was a time when my devotion time was a hard thing to do. Is anybody understanding that? So I would get up. I remember times when I would get up early and I would set the alarm long before I had to be at work, and I would find my place and I would kneel before the Lord and I would start my prayer time that way, and I would, time would just go by and I thought, oh, it's wonderful, until I realized I had fallen asleep. You know what the problem was? I was lazy and I had to discipline myself. You guys understand that. All right, I saw over here, Donald.
Selfish ambition.
I love that. Ambition. Ambition. How many would agree that ambition can come between you and God? Ambition. I've set my sights on something other than God. I've got to make the buck. Got to build my business. Got to build my life. Got to get a spouse. Got to have children. Got to have grandchildren. I've got houses to build. I've got vineyards to plant. You guys catching? Ambition. Ambition can be something absolutely kin. Peer pressure. Man, I agree. Peer pressure. What is everybody thinking of me? What are their expectations on me? How many have ever felt other people's expectations? Have you ever, how many, just be honest, would say sometimes you felt like you couldn't measure up to somebody else's idea of what you ought to be? Now, let me just tell you right now, let me just throw this out here, you guys. I know I only work 2 days a week. At least I get told that a lot. Seriously, listen to me. We have people in the hospital right now. Cindy, do we have people in the hospital right now? There are people in the hospital. James just got out today. My wife's uncle's been in the hospital in Yuba City or in Marysville. We've been there to see him. Lila's in the hospital in Sacramento. I've been in touch with Steve. I haven't been able to get down there yet, but she's in the hospital. Rhonda, Barbara, I was going to say Melton because that's what's on Facebook, but Rhonda Barber is in the hospital right now. Genesis, Jamie Valderrama's daughter is in the hospital. That's Cindy's granddaughter. She's in the hospital right now. Bo's mother is in the hospital right now. Annie McElhaney is in the hospital right now. We're leaving one room and we see David McElhaney. And so we go in and see Annie. And then we get a call. How come you haven't got a hold of this one? Why haven't you done that? How come you're not doing your job? That's really the idea. That's peer pressure. You ought to be. How come you don't do more? How come you? We joked about it, didn't we, not the other day, Cindy? We went to the hospital and we were praying with James. We joked and we said, because we'd already been to one room and now we're in another room. We've already prayed for one person in ER. We're now in another room in ER praying. And the statement, we joked about that. Boy, you know, used to stay in the hospital all day with one individual. Well, that's impossible today because there's more than one person there. And I haven't figured out how I can be in one place and be in another place at the same time. Peer pressure. Well, unrealistic expectations of somebody else on you. All right. Terry, I saw your hand first. And the reality is, guys, so that we're clear on this, so that we all know this. If you're not moving forward, you will move backwards. Complacency. If you, and come on, let's check, can we be honest? Has anybody reached a place in your walk ever where you felt yourself not moving forward? Sure you have. We've all been there. We might call them a dry season. A barren place in our walk with God. Is everybody understanding this? And if you're not careful, you will allow that to hinder you. You'll slow your run. And you won't be as effective as you were in the past. Man, a lot of hands. Let me go to Michael. That would be under negative and peer pressure. Yes, yes. Well, that would be a reason, what we need to do, so then that would become dull of hearing. Yeah, dull of hearing. Ken, you can stop writing them, Crystal, that's fine. We got plenty up there. We're just going to take and talk about them for a few more minutes.
Many times, work. The workplace, a lot of can't work if you hard, can't go to church. Work in this, boss won't let me off.
Do you remember what, when Jesus was calling those and they said, well, you know, they were saying, go out and call them to the wedding, remember? And they said, well, yeah, but I'm too busy. My father-in-law's sick. Got to go take care of my father-in-law. I'm too busy. I've got oxen to take care of. I'm too busy. I've got things I've got to plant, and this is planting season. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. Let's remember real quickly, Matthew, I'll see your hands, and just, I'm going to get to you guys quick, but I want to get this because it's important. Remember when the 10 virgins were told that the bridegroom was coming? Five were wise, five were foolish. Five had what they needed to go in. Five of them were content to be without. Five of them wanted to rely on the five that had in order to get them. One of the things that we thought when our boys were young growing up, a dad here, a mom here, what we wanted to make sure that our children came to is a place in their life where they would declare Jesus to be Lord over them. They weren't going to be able to stand before God and say, oh, by the way, you know my mom and dad. They're believers. They had to establish a relationship with the Lord for their life. And so, that isn't that true in all of our cases? We all have to come to a point where we declare Jesus Christ to be Lord. Let me go over here. I saw a hand over here. Who was it? Was it Brian? Yes. Excuses. I've used a couple of sayings for years. And my wife, frankly, sometimes she don't even want to ask people the questions. She don't want to force people to lie. So she doesn't want to ask the questions. Because you don't want to hear excuses. I used to say this, excuses are like armpits. Everybody's got them. They all smell. You know, I mean, you know, people make excuses for everything and anything. So I agree. Yes. Drives me nuts. Very good, right? I think that's priorities, don't you? Wrong priorities. I said, if God is the Lord over your life, then he must be the Lord over everything. Right? Let me go to this one. I'll come back this way. Yes. Wrong motives. Absolutely. Wrong motives. Wrong motives. I think, aren't these good? These are things that we need to recognize. Amen. Listen, I'm trying to give you guys something tonight. I hope you guys are receiving this. These are all things that can hinder your run. Linda. Unforgiveness. Huge. Huge. Everybody say that's huge. It's huge. Huge. I was running, somebody tripped me. And I've got to forgive that individual. They messed my life up. Unforgiveness, that's huge. Crystal. A lack of trust to God. How many could just admit something to me? And I almost hate to ask you to show your hands, so maybe I'll just ask the question. You don't need to show your hands, but just admit. Have you ever been mad at God? Well, the hands went up anyway. You know, I made the statement to somebody that God's an on-time God. He is, but he certainly doesn't on time for me. He's an on-time God. And that means he is always on time. But he's not always on my time. How many of you ever had to wait longer than you thought you should have had to wait? Right? You're waiting and expecting and praying and believing and trusting and hoping and frustrated and tired. Impatient and bored and angry. But you're learning, right? Learning to trust God, that's huge. Knowing, see, we say these things that we, as church people, we know. You know, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. True. True. And we know all these things, and we know who he is and what he does, right? But every one of us want what we want when we want it, which is right now. Yes, sir. It's a lack of faith. Trust and faith. It's absolutely. It is. It is. It is. God, let's just bring it right down. We're going to close. God is requiring of you. He's setting expectations on you, because remember we understood it is absolutely, you can't take it out of the scripture when we say you've run well. What hindered you from obeying the truth? So we understand that obeying the truth is the running well. So God's, it's baby steps, isn't it? All of a sudden, God is now dealing with you in areas of your giving, your stewardship, dealing with you in areas of loving people, forgiving people, and he's challenging you to take steps of faith. And you're going, I can't. I can't. But yet, you're supposed to be running. And you say, oh yeah, God, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. We used to sing the song, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Except for go there and do that. Yes.
This is a real quick thing with numbers. You're saying, you know, stewardship is not just really about money.
No, it's not.
It's about your time, too.
It's everything.
So, if you're eating 3 meals a day, we'll just say you take a lunch break for like an hour. Okay. So, say you have 8 meals an hour. You're using just a little over 10% of your day on eating. Okay. So you average out, you're looking about 10% of your week at eating. So you figure if you're just going to Sunday morning and a Wednesday,
75 minutes a week.
Okay, that's less than 0.5% of your week.
That's why we've got to invest more of our time with God outside of this as well as inside of this. Terry. Okay, I really want to close, but let me say this real quick. I see your hand, Raymond. Let me just say this real quick. Because, you know, we talk about the things that might hinder us. Everything's going great. And we can say the car doesn't start. And that could be a bad day. But what about when the doctor says you've got cancer and you've got 6 weeks to live? or you're told that your child has cancer. Amen, Rakina? Rough. Blows your day, right? I'll never forget, and I don't mean to embarrass Regina, but I remember one statement when Don Marie was dying with cancer, and there was no way that Don Marie, other than a miracle from God, Don Marie was going to pass. And I remember one day, she was down with Don Marie, and Don Marie looked at her mom and said, "Mom, I'm dying." And Regina said, "Yes, you are, honey, but not today. But you are dying. That'll mess up your day. That'll mess up your day. Hey, that takes your car not starting and makes that light, right? What about you think your marriage is going great and your spouse says, I want a divorce. Right? You thought everything was great. Mess up your day. Are you guys hearing what I'm talking about? But see, it takes us to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So Job said, let everything that happens happen. I'm still going to serve him. I don't know about you guys. I'm telling you, that's how important it is to me. Is it important to you? It's how important it is to me. No matter what. Economy fall and there's nothing left. I've still got to hold on to God. Because everything that we've talked about is eternal. You may say it's temporary, but every decision you make today in Christ is about eternity. Because this life, the Bible says we're just pilgrims. We're just passing through. We're sojourners. We're just moving toward, because heaven is our ultimate goal, right? We're going to be with God. Stand with me tonight. Man, I couldn't get to all of you. Did you guys enjoy this tonight? Yes. Anybody want to grow a little bit more spiritually? Amen.